Pastor Ray Bentley has a warning for those who want to step off the path of righteousness.
When we rebel against God, when we come out from under His blessing, we go, I want to do my own thing. I'll decide what's right. I want to explore. What you don't realize is whenever we go out from underneath the protection of God's word, we open ourselves up to spiritual warfare and demonic strongholds.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. How much can we get away with and still be a Christian? Unfortunately, it's a common question. Today, Pastor Ray points out that when we move out from God's will and His umbrella of protection, we're playing with fire. It's a candid lesson today on staying close to the God who has our best interests at heart.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. We've got four life lessons here this morning as we go through this study. But life, all of life, is a school teaching us about the character of God. All of the things that you and I will experience, all the things that we will go through in life, have this purpose in mind. God wants you to know what He is like. Now, chapter 32, verse 1, let's read the first four verses. Moses says, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the raindrops on the tender herb, as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, Yahweh. Ascribe greatness to God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are justice, a God of truth, and without injustice, righteous and upright is He. So here's, God has told Moses, I want you to go to the tabernacle of meeting with Joshua, and speaking from the cloud of glory, the Lord taught Moses and Joshua a song. So actually, Deuteronomy chapter 32 is called the Song of Moses. And in the song that God, as a father, taught Moses and Joshua, He said, teach this song to the children of Israel so that when they go into the land, they'll sing it. And embedded into the song that God taught them was a blessing of the Father over them, you know, and it was also a prophecy about their future. Now, as He begins to bless them and kind of prophesy their destiny and their future, the Lord tells the children of Israel, hey, you're going to go into the land in just a little couple of weeks, and you're going to prosper in the craziest way. You're going to become wealthy because as a father, God loves His kids, and you know, parents tend to spoil their kids. But then God tells the children of Israel, however, you're going to rebel against me. Down the road, because I love you, I'm going to prosper you. You're going to fall in love with the prosperity. Your heart's going to be lifted up with pride. And you're going to forget me, that I'm the one that blessed you and I'm the one that gave you all this prosperity. And you will turn away from me and you'll fall in love with other gods. You will betray me and you will enter into worshiping other idols and other gods. So God tells them this right from the beginning. I know this is what you guys are going to do. You're going to go in, you're going to prosper, then you're going to fall in love with yourself and you're going to follow other gods, and then I'm going to allow outside nations to come in and kind of beat up on you. And when they do, you're going to cry out for deliverance, and because I love you, I'm going to come and I am going to deliver you, and you're going to repent and return to me. And then when I do that, I'm going to bless you all over again. Now, Moses calls heaven and earth to witness his words. So he's prophesying over them, and I think what's interesting is he does not call for God to bring storms. Lord, they're going to turn against you, so bring storms against them. Notice exactly what he says in verse 2. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb and as showers on the grass, for I proclaim the name of the Lord. I think this is very beautiful because what Moses says is the blessing of the Father is like a continuous, gentle shower of rain. And so he doesn't say, I'm going to bring a storm and shake you off. He says, I'm going to just keep raining. The word of God, the will of God is just going to be like a gentle rain. And listen, that gentle rain will break through eventually your hard hearts. And it will soften the soil of your heart. And you will repent. I will plant the seed of my character within you. And it shall grow and blossom just as I always intended for it to do. So I love this. We're to speak truth in love. We must speak of love, but we must speak of truth and love. They go together. The church tends to go toward truth, and sometimes, forget the love part, truth, 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 and it gets very hard and very rigid. Or on the other hand, no, we gotta be loving, but love without guidelines, love without truth, can become sentimental, mushy, and meaningless. So I love the balance. The gentle rain of God's word is like truth in love. It's the best way to teach God's word. It's the best way to pass on God's word to the next generation. So learning the character of God is the most important lesson in the school of life. Is learning, so God, you know, as he says here in verse 4, he is the rock. Have you found the Lord to be your solid rock? His work is perfect. Everything God does is perfect. All his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. I love that. You know, here's what can happen. Here's what the enemy does when we go through life and we're trying to learn about God and trying to learn about the character of God, and what the devil comes and whispers to us is, hey, you know what? God's not really fair. Look what he's done. He's left you hanging here and he left those people. He's not saying anything. And, you know, God is not just. God is not righteous. God is not fair. And sometimes with our limited understanding, we don't know everything. God does know everything, okay? So we can make wrong conclusions about ourselves, about life, and about the character of God, because we don't know the whole story. How many times have you been in a situation where you hear one side of the story, you immediately jump in, and you go, hey, this, and you challenge someone, and all of a sudden they go, hey, wait a second. Did you know that this happened? No, I didn't. Did you know then that also happened? No, I didn't know that. Did you know that someone, so-and-so said this, that? No, I didn't know that. And all of a sudden, as you hear about these things you didn't know about, and what people said that you had no knowledge of, you had with limited knowledge made a judgment about a situation that in the end was totally wrong. Has that ever happened to anybody? Well, look, there's only one person who knows everything, and that's God. When, you know, everything gets wrapped up in the end, it'll be clear, when we see it from God's perspective, that he did the right thing every single time. Okay, let's move on to the next life lesson. We must undergo many tests to grow from one level to the next. This is a way of describing the Christian life. Just like when you're a baby, you go through stages of physical growth, mental growth, emotional growth, growth in stature, and all the rest of it. So also, spiritually, did you know that God wants us to grow to full maturity, and in the end, he wants our character to be like that of Jesus Christ. So in order for us to grow, here's what God does. He tests us. He will test you. He will challenge you. And in the test, you will learn something. You'll learn about his character, and you will also, you'll have to grow to experience what it is that God is wanting to bring you into. So beginning with verse 5, it says, they have corrupted themselves, they are not his children, because of their blemish, a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who bought you? He redeemed them out of Egypt on Passover night. Has he not made you and established you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you, your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel, for the Lord's portion is his people. God, his portion, meaning his, what he values, is you and me, his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. Verse 10, he found him in the desert land, down in Egypt, and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness, and then he encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Verse 11, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him. And there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride in the heights of the earth that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle, milk of the flock, with fat of lambs, rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats, with the choicest wheat, and you drank wine, the blood of the grapes. So here he's talking about all that I've done here, and I've brought you through many, many tests. And I love how he says, you know, in the context of giving us tests, in verse 11, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, verse 11, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him. Okay, so let's go to the next life lesson. We learn also that God uses discipline to bring deliverance. Oh, this is interesting. Look with me in verse 15. It says, but Jeshurun, so he calls Israel Jeshurun. That's a Hebrew word that means upright. He says, but Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick. And then he forsook God who made him. God's saying, you're prospering, you're blessed, and you say you're righteous. But in reality, you're filled with pride. And he's kind of being sarcastic. Oh yeah, you're really morally superior, Jeshurun. But you're really arrogant, and you've lost relationship with me. And scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. There comes a time in children's lives when they actually despise their parents. They think they're not that great. They're not that smart. They're not that cool. And they don't like them at all. And what God is saying is that's what Israel is going to be. And he says, but you are puffed up. You're arrogant. That's what puffed up means. It means proud. You're proud. You think you know everything. Verse 16, they provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they did not know, to new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear, of the rock who begot you. You are unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you. So Moses is warning the people, you're going to go into the land and God's going to prosper you beyond your wildest dreams because he loves you and he's going to spoil you. And you will be tempted to be puffed up and proud, and then you'll say, who's the Lord? And you'll take credit for your own blessings. You'll forget the Lord, but you'll actually bow down and worship other gods. And then in verse 16, He goes on to say, they will fall back to worshiping idols like the golden calf. And even here, God declares, while you're bowing down to that stupid golden calf that came from Egypt, he tells them the truth. What you're really doing is you are entangling yourselves with demons. Now, this is found in the New Testament. It's not just the Old Testament. In the New. When we rebel against God, when we come out from under his blessing, his authority, his character, his will, we go, I want to do my own thing. I'll decide what's right. I want to explore, and I want to find other things. What you don't realize is, in fact, I put it here in your notes, whenever we go out from underneath the protection of God's word, we open ourselves up to spiritual warfare and demonic strongholds. I don't know how to tell you this other than just as plain and simple and direct as I can, that sin is not just sin. It's not just the pleasures of the flesh, the world, and worldliness and all of that. But when you forsake the Lord and his truth and his character, and you go for those worldly, fleshly things that are so enticing, you will get entangled with demonic strongholds, demonic presence, and they will grip you and put their hooks inside of you, and they will control you. You go for the thing, I'm going to be free and do my own thing. No, you're not. You're going to be a slave to those gods and to those demons. And when you then say, this is starting to cost me, whatever it is, you're losing your mind, you're losing your health, you're losing whatever, I need to get out of this, and you can't. You're addicted. You're trapped. You are literally imprisoned and being tormented. What the Bible says about demons, they torment people. The word associated with demonic, you can know if you're under demonic influence or whatever, is torment. You're tormented. And now here's the thing. God allows that to happen for a very good reason. He doesn't discipline you, but he allows the demons to do it. They're the ones ripping you, tearing you. Well, why would God allow? And God said, that's what I'm going to do with you guys. These foreign nations, because you don't worship me, you don't love me, don't want to walk with me, I won't force you. You go with these other gods, and I'm going to let these other Gentile nations come and beat up on you and take you captive and make you prisoners, and you will be demonically entwined. And then when you are stuck and you can't get out of it, you will scream and cry out to me that God, then you'll remember God, and you will say, deliver me, deliver us, forgive me. And once you get delivered, God says, and when you cry out to me, I will hear your prayer, and I will deliver you, and I will make those demons let go of you, and you can come back into the place of blessing. But when you come back, and when you have repented, and when you return, and you remember all the enticements of the flesh that was out there, but never forget the demonic part of it, the torment part of it. And even if you get, that pull of whatever, you'll go, there is no way I'm going to let a demon mess with my mind, my emotions, my heart, my life, and torment me, or my marriage, or my kids, or my family, or my calling, or my career, whatever. No way. I've learned my lesson. God, I'm staying here. I'm staying underneath your showers of blessing. And you've learned. That's what God said would happen with Israel. I will deliver you, and I will bring you deliverance. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23 is in your notes. Let's read this out loud together. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He also has rejected you from being king. So when we go out from the Lord in that way, it's like rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. But God loves us, he disciplines us, he delivers us, and we praise the Lord. Fourth and finally, and we close with this, the hour is coming of the glorious vindication. I love this. Here's what God says. Okay, so I told you I'm going to bring you into the land, you're going to prosper. Then you're going to fall in love and think it was all because of you. And then you're going to betray me and worship other idols. And I'm going to let them come in and beat up on you. And then I will deliver you. But then the last thing God says is, But now those demons and those pagan nations that came up and beat up on my kids, now I'm going to deal with them. Now it's their turn. And they are going down hard, big time. When you watch God, your Father, go after the demonic strongholds and go after the worldliness and all the rest of it, ooh, baby. Okay, look at me, with me at verse 39. It says, and see that I, even I, am He. And there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. For I raise my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, if I whet my glittering sword and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drink with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh. With the blood of the slain and the captives, from the heads of the leaders of the enemy, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and render vengeance to his adversaries. God says, yeah, I'm going to use your enemies to come, you know, discipline and punish you. He goes, but then I'm going to punish them for mistreating you. And when I get done with them, it's all over. You know, this is about Israel. God allowed these outside nations, Gentile nations, to come and, you know, kind of beat up on Israel, and they were scattered and all of that. But then God says, I'm going to return you to me, and you're going to repent and return unto me and believe in me and call upon me, and I'm going to deliver you. And then I'm going to turn my wrath against those nations who treated my kids that way. Some say this has never ultimately been fulfilled for, on behalf of the Jewish people, and that verses 39 through 43 may be a reference, even in the book of Deuteronomy, to the Battle of Armageddon. Where God says, because you mistreated my people and my kids, wait, you have never seen anything like, as the prophet said, woe, 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 when the day of the Lord comes. You want to be on God's side, sitting under him, safely with dad at your side. Amen? Amen.
Good counsel today from our studies in the book of Deuteronomy with Pastor Ray Bentley. Glad you've joined us here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention The Father's Counsel. It's available for just $7. Again, the title, The Father's Counsel. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Deuteronomy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. What's the most surprising facet you uncover in your book? What brings the biggest wow when you tell people about this material?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is learning about the Feasts of the Lord. I think the church has done a great job of looking at the feasts in the spring that go from Passover, when Christ was crucified, to the resurrection, and then Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell. But there are three more feasts that are in the fall, and those three feasts point to and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and really are all about the second coming. They all point to the days I think we're living in right now, Dave, and I think people will be fascinated to learn more about these feasts, how they reveal more about Jesus Christ and the hope of his return.
You know, many New Testament believers look at the feasts as simply an historical fact, and they don't really actually pull that material into their day-to-day relationship with the Lord, but that really is a mistake, isn't it?
It is. The next feast to be fulfilled, it's all these allusions, really, to the return of Jesus Christ. And I think it's going to be mind-boggling for people to look into this and understand deeper layers that will ignite their faith and put fire in their soul for sharing the Lord.
All right. Well, Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, is available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Deuteronomy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.